From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ because life and truth matter. Today, grateful Americans from coast to coast are observing Veterans Day, a day to reflect upon and honor those who have served and sacrificed in all branches of the military, especially those who, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, gave the last full measure of devotion. We here at CRI would like to offer our deepest respect, honor, and thankfulness for all who have served to protect and defend the freedoms we enjoy in this country. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, just such a pleasure to be in studio to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web. You can find the materials that I talk about on the broadcast, equip.org, and via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Just a word about our resource of the month. It's called Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. I put the book together specifically for those who support the ministry this month. And, of course, STARS is an acronym. You're probably familiar with acronyms. If you're familiar with our ministry, I take the complex and make it simple and memorable. The R in the acronym STARS, I've talked about the S, the T, and the A, but the R represent resurrection prophecies. Resurrection, of course, is the brightest star in the constellation of biblical prophecy. All other prophecies demonstrating the Bible to be divine rather than merely human in origin invoke the supernatural, but resurrection embodies it. So think about when the Jews demanded that Jesus prove his authority over temple priests and sacrifice. What did he say? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And Christ's fulfillment guarantees that there is life after life after life. What do I mean by that? I mean life after life in that the redeemed continue to exist in the presence of the Redeemer. Life after life, in that just as Jesus rose bodily from the grave, a starry host of resurrection prophecies guarantee that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. If Christ had not himself been resurrected, the promise that he will resurrect dry bones in scattered graves would be as empty as the tomb guaranteeing its fulfillment. Again, the book, available for your support of the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org or just give us a call, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Also, if you want a personalized copy, I send out personalized copies for those who join the CRI support team as a member committing to support the Christian Research Institute and our outreaches around the world with ongoing support. In appreciation, again, I'll personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to the web, equip.org/donate. Let's go right to the phone lines. Renner first, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Renner.
Hello, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for your ministry.
You got it.
My question is about, I'm preparing my will, and my attorney's asking me about these end-of-life directives and living will and things like this. And I am inclined to decline certain medical treatments that would prolong life and maybe prolong suffering. And I'm inclined to give directives to my surviving family members to maybe do not resuscitate and things like this. But I feel strongly that life is sacred and that God has a plan and a purpose for everyone, and he's up to him to decide when shall you die. And so I don't want to do anything that would damage my immortal soul because I would rather defer to God.
Wow. I don't know how anyone could say it more eloquently or succinctly than what you just did, because if you look at the two kinds of euthanasia, one is passive, the other is active. Passive euthanasia is morally permissible in that it allows the process of dying to run its natural course, but active euthanasia is morally prohibited because it directly involves the taking of life. And as you so well articulated, the timing and terms of death are the province of God alone. A doctor is never permitted to usurp the prerogative of deity. And hastening death based on subjective judgments concerning quality of life would be a direct violation of Scripture, but passive euthanasia would not. That, in essence, means that you're allowing the dying process to run its natural course.
So if you decline treatments or decline to be resuscitated and things like that, that would be a passive act?
Yes, and what I think is important is that everyone understand that quality of life should not be our judgment. All of life, as you correctly point out, is sacred, and therefore we should cherish every moment that God gives us. But there certainly is a place within a Christian worldview for passive euthanasia.
What about declining treatments? I specifically ask because my father went through extensive suffering after a bone marrow transplant, and if I had such a diagnosis, I think maybe I would elect not to undergo that treatment. Is that okay, or should you fight for every moment?
You should fight for every moment, because from a biblical perspective, suffering produces perseverance, character, hope. That's not something that came out of my fertile imagination, but comes right from the lips of Paul in Romans chapter 5. So like suffering for our faith, physical suffering does have redemptive value, and it can be likened to a furnace that rids us of dross and fashions us more and more like unto our Lord. So remember what C.S. Lewis said. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And that's not to say that there is virtue in needless suffering. But it is to say what you said in the prologue to your question, that every moment is precious. God is the arbiter of those moments. And I, to give my own father as an illustration, he died of a fibrosing in his lungs. And what that did was it encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen. And so over a period of time, my dad was a speaker, over a period of time, he was literally suffocating to death, and it was agonizing. And I remember, and I've told this story on the broadcast several times because of its poignancy, I remember talking to my dad when he was in real agony and saying, Dad, wouldn't you just like to go home and be with the Lord? He said, no, every moment the Lord gives me is precious. And we saw the outworking of that at the very end of his life when he took his last few breaths. He had just prayed for all his children, all his grandchildren, and all his great-grandchildren, and then he took the last two agonizing breaths and went home to be with the Lord. So I think that what we want to do is make certain that we're not the determiner of death, that we leave that in God's hands. But if someone is going through the dying process, it is not mandatory that extraordinary means are used.
Okay, I think that answers my question, or at least it helps me so much. I really appreciate it. Finally, can you recommend a church in Charlotte? I live here, and I would like to go to a good Presbyterian, but not the USA.
Well, there's a great Presbyterian church here. If you're looking for a Presbyterian church, in fact, Pastor Michael Ross is the pastor of that church. It's called Christ Covenant Church. So, again, if you're looking for a good Presbyterian church, I can recommend that.
Okay, thank you, Hank. I so appreciate it. I enjoy your ministry, and I value your opinion so much. Thank you for your study of the Bible.
Sure, Renner, one other thing too, as you go, I can send you an article that I wrote on euthanasia, and also I think there was a good article in the journal that we can send you as well, if you want to hang on.
Oh, sure, I'd love to, thank you.
Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Andrew in Kansas City, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Andrew.
How are you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Quick background. My wife and I have been married for 6 years. We have one four-year-old son and another son on the way. She was raised Community of Christ. I could be considered a traveling Christian. I don't have a single denomination. We are trying to decide on a home church, and that's become very difficult. And I wondered if I could have your opinion on what we should do, because it usually ends in an argument.
Well, you do want to find a healthy, well-balanced church, and God can cause your spirits to coalesce in that quest. But yeah, the Community of Christ, I think you mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I would be a little nervous about that. Not just a little nervous, but a lot, because this is a reformed Latter-day Saints movement. It is not exactly like LDS or the Mormon Church, but it's reorganized. And as such, it still believes that Joseph Smith was a reliable prophet, that he was sent by God to restore the church. He had to reinstitute the apostolic and prophetic offices along with the Old Testament priesthoods and so forth. And he had to convey additional revelation through the Book of Mormon. All of that, of course, would run counter a Christian worldview. So it's certainly a step forward from Mormonism per se, because, of course, while Mormons believe that there are many gods and men can become gods, in an unbiblical sense, the reorganized church maintains that there is only one God. And whereas Mormons traditionally hold that God was once a mere man who had to work his way up to Godhead, the reorganized church teaches that God has always been God. So again, it is certainly a better alternative than Mormonism, but neither one is a good alternative. I think you want to find a healthy, well-balanced church.
Well, and her family is very, very open and extremely loving. I'm incredibly lucky with how grounded Christians they are and how open they are to my understanding and non-understanding. It's just kind of hard for me, because I was always taught and only believe that you learn from the Bible. I don't really feel I need another source, and that's where I find it difficult. But they're very grounded and again, very open and understanding and loving with all of that. It's just hard to find a home church with that aspect in it.
Well, a couple of things I would say about this. There are other books that you can learn from, but the Bible is it is the final arbiter. It is what you test all things by and then hold fast to that which is good. But I think that what you want to do is know what you're aiming at, which is to say, what is a healthy, well-balanced church? And
with
then has
to my wife, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because in a church, you are worshiping God. You're partaking of word and sacrament. You are knit together in oneness, as delineated by Paul in Romans chapter 12. And then you're being equipped to go out and impact the world. The church has a mission to the world, and so you have to become an equipped Christian, and church is part of what equips you for that. So just understanding what a healthy, well-balanced church is all about is critical in the process.
And I also need to be a strong leader for my sons. So, thank you very much. That gives me some guidance and a little bit of outside perspective.
Well, I appreciate your call, and if there's anything we can do to help you, please let us know. I'm too close to a station break to take another call before the break. We'll be going to your calls again after the break. Do want to mention the Christian Research Journal. It is an award-winning magazine. The cover story, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, has to do with evaluating the Star Wars worldview. You think, what does Star Wars have to do with the Christian Research Institute discernment? It is discernment. So often in the culture, we uncritically buy into things. So to have discernment skills is not only important for you and your family, but for reaching out to a lost and searching world who buys into the skin of the truth uncritically, like eating into an apple that has just a little cyanide, still deadly. So we don't want to bite into the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. The Evaluating the Star Wars Worldview article is worth the price of subscription alone, but there are many other fantastic articles, including an article on the subject I was just talking about, polygamy in the Bible and in Mormonism. That's an important subject. A lot of people say, well, the Bible teaches polygamy, just like the Book of Mormon. And so, six of one, half dozen of the other. Great article to read. Also, responding to pro-gay revisionist talking points. There's a whole movement now going to churches, trying to reorient them to a different worldview. How do you deal with that? The Journal has these and many, many other articles, including my own article on Mormonism, what separates Christian Orthodoxy from the Mormon heresy. All of that available when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Check it out on the web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with more answers. So please don't touch that dial.
You probably know that predictive prophecy in the Bible is straightforward, that the prophet Isaiah directly predicted the destruction of the ancient Phoenician port of Tyre. But can you explain how the prophesied abomination of desolation by which the temple was desecrated in 167 BC and destroyed in AD 70 reveals the divine inspiration of the Bible? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI.
888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
For hundreds of years, prophecy pundits, with their incurable compulsion to set dates and timetables about end-time events, have been wrong 100% of the time. Yet these blind guides continue to lead multitudes of Christians astray with their prognostications. That's why Hank Hanegraaff produced the book Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, which offers the tools you need to interpret biblical prophecy correctly and avoid the dangers and silliness of doomsday hysteria. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Laura, listening in Seattle, Washington on KCIS. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I have a question. I have been attending a church that started to make me feel uncomfortable. And I just, you know, I was praying about it. One thing that they were doing is going through long periods of worship and a lot of repetition and, you know, for hours. And I was asking God, you know, what is this? What's going on here? And, you know, of course, I believe that he had me look this up in the Bible. And it's in Matthew 11, 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to the disciples and he's saying that, you know, this particular generation, they called to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. And so he's saying, what I think I hear him saying is that something's off.
Well, I mean, if you look at the context, and I think context here is determinative, it really explains what is meant. To what can I compare this generation, said Jesus? They're kind of like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. What are they calling out to others? Calling out exactly what you just said. We played the flute for you. You didn't dance. We sang a dirge. You didn't mourn. And why does Jesus say this? He says, in context, because John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. And then the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. The people of the generation did not have wisdom. They didn't have knowledge. They didn't have understanding, but they were very much like children who did not understand that Messiah was in their midst and did not have ears to hear what the Spirit was saying.
Well, that goes exactly with what I believe that he'd been speaking to me probably a year ago. I was really struggling with this teaching with the Word of God now, where a lot of pastors will, you know, it's more about you than it is about God, and it's what God does for you in your life. And I was really struggling with, you know, this who I am in Christ, where I think it should say who Christ is in me. But I was wrestling with that as well, and I believe that he revealed to me that there's a lot of teaching without wisdom. And that sounds like the very same thing that you were just describing to me.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I wrote a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. I use Joel Osteen as a classic example of what you are just saying. The reason I coined the term is because he's the biggest of the bunch. But he does precisely what you're talking about. Jesus, to him, is merely a means to our ends as opposed to being the end. And people are invited to the master's table, not for the love of the master, but because of what is on the master's table. So it is, again, the culturalization of Christianity as opposed to being a genuine biblical worldview.
Right, right. And I think a lot of people get off on that because they believe that they have found what God's speaking to their destiny in life, and they move towards this destiny in this direction. They believe that what God has for them is what they're going after, but it's more they're thinking of themselves.
Again, to the point of becoming a means to their end as opposed to being the end, and he is the end. And we find our joy and purpose and fulfillment when we find our all in him. Again, the book, Stenification of American Christianity, very relevant to what you're talking about. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michelle next. She's listening in Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about how in the Old Testament that it talks about you can't eat pork, you can't touch a hog, you know, and then you can't eat seafood and stuff like that. And I just want to make sure, because I know it doesn't really address it in the New Testament, is it okay to eat pork and like seafood?
Well, of course it is. And if you look in the New Testament, one of the appropriate passages to look at is Mark chapter 7, where Jesus says, okay, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make that man unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and then out from his body. And then Mark appends the words, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So the point of cleanness or uncleanness in the dietary laws were within the context of a theocracy where God is directly ruling over a people. And these laws are ways by which Israel is not only set apart to be a light to the nations, but ways by which they have an object lesson. But when there is a fulfillment of the object lesson in the substance, then the object lesson is no longer necessary. In other words, Jesus is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows, and thus the civil and ceremonial laws that came before are no longer necessary to abide by. Now, there could be dietary reasons why you wouldn't eat shellfish, but there's no moral injunction against doing that very thing.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless.
God bless you as well. And I've written about this in principle in a lot of different places, including Has God Spoken, where I point out the difference between civil and ceremonial laws and enduring law. Again, a good section on that in my book, Has God Spoken? Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Peter. He's listening in New York, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
It's a pleasure hearing your voice. I've been trying to speak to you for years. I'm so glad to talk to you today. I have a question about a chapter your assistant just read it to me, and I'm trying to look for it. It escaped my memory right now, and I'm so I don't know what to say. It's about where this Paul says in the Corinthians, it says somebody like beast, some like fish, some like bird. And he went further and said, some glory in the sun, body celestial, and body terrestrial.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that's where Paul is saying, not all flesh is the same. He says, right. Men have one kind of flesh. By the way, you did a very good job of paraphrasing it. Animals have another kind of flesh. Birds have another. Fish another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. And then he explains, the sun has one kind of splendor. The moon has another kind of splendor. The stars have another kind of splendor. And star differs from star in splendor. And then he makes the application. He says, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown natural.
Okay. And then I have one more question, if you don't mind. When you pray with someone as a minister, and you're seeing the spirit, like the bottom of a fish, I don't know if you deal with deliverance, because I was trained from a deliverance ministry to be a minister. So oftentimes when I pray with someone, I see like a body of fish while I'm praying with this individual. I can't really understand what the Lord is showing me in that area.
Yeah, I would be very skeptical of deliverance ministries, especially with Christians. And the reason is that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Christians are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, will not be shared with a demon.
Okay.
I think one of the problems with deliverance ministry is that they got their cue from the world, as it were. Pop culture beckons, and then postmodern Christians take the bait. And the robust deliverance movement in sort of the world has led to a robust deliverance movement within evangelicalism. And you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever your personal problem, whether it's depression, anxiety, substance addiction, a runaway sexual appetite, there are these exorcism ministries available that will claim expertise for dealing with it, with the bonus that you are not held personally responsible for the problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of those demons is the key to moral and psychological redemption. And that, again, comes out of the culture. It does not come out of a Christian worldview. And the problem, I think, is that oftentimes, Peter, what's happened is we have become the imitators of the culture rather than initiators in the culture. And what is necessary for us is to understand what we believe and why we believe it, to really get a grasp on a biblical worldview. And that's why I think it's really good that you asked the question that you did with respect to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, this is an application to the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. So that's the analogy. So Paul uses examples from botany and astrology and astronomy, I should say, and he applies that to what's going to happen when we are transformed in the resurrection.
Thank you so much. And do you have a minute to pray for me?
I do. Let me pray for you right now. Father, thank you for Peter, for his desire to know you and love you, to be used as a tool in your hands. I pray, Lord, that you give him wisdom and understanding, that you would bring people and circumstances around his life so that he might grow, not only in knowledge, but in experience with the living Lord of the universe. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to interact with Peter. I pray that you would continue to bless and use him for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. I am unfortunately coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And of course, do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Did you know that 6 centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Daniel accurately predicted the rise and fall of Babylon, Media, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire? Master the tools of interpreting biblical prophecy and begin to understand how we know the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin with Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Other topics include evaluating the Star Wars worldview, organ transplantation and human value, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. As a student of the Bible, you probably know that predictive prophecy is straightforward, that the prophet Micah directly predicted the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. But can you explain exactly how Christ's birth fulfills Isaiah's puzzling prophecy, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son? To apprehend this and other mysteries of Scripture, get your copy of Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy by Hank Hanegraaff. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A reminder that we need new donors and new members of the CRI support team. And there's a matching grant available to sort of incentivize people to become new donors and new members of the Christian Research Institute, of our outreach ministries around the world. And what that means in simple terms is whatever you give will be doubled by the matching grant. If you join the Christian Research Institute support team, when you do that in appreciation, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books as well. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. Our resource of the month, I've been talking about it all month, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, out to you when you send a gift as well. Next up is Bruce. He's listening in Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, hi, Hank. Yeah, I just had a question for you. If a non-believer, I'm a believer, and, you know, I love Jesus Christ, and if I have someone come up to me and ask me, you know, just, who is he? Who is Jesus? Would it be right for me to say that he came here as God in the flesh?
Well, yeah, of course, and that is what Jesus Christ...
I mean, so that people could really experience God, that, you know, he was God's son, he came from God. He was born of a virgin, but he came from God. He's God's son, so I figured, you know, if somebody asked me, say, he came as God in the flesh, but he was a man.
Well, that's right, and this is what incarnation means. It means coming in flesh. So God has condescended to reveal himself to us. On the one hand, God is unknowable in his essence. On the other hand, he is knowable. And this is a great antinomy in the scripture. One person, two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. But what does the Bible say about Jesus? When you get a chance, pick up the Bible and look at Colossians chapter 1. Even better yet, think about memorizing it. There, Jesus is called the image of the invisible God. Think about this. The firstborn over all creation, first being preeminent over all creation. Why? Because for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then Paul says, and he is the head of his body, the church. So yes. Jesus Christ is clearly God. It is not as though he just came from God. He did come from God, but he is God. And this is the very thing that John declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you go to Revelation, he's called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. So the Bible is clear about one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is God. It's also clear that there's only one God. And what's really neat about this is the way that the Bible communicates one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Now, we can apprehend what the Bible says. We can't comprehend it. And I think that's really neat. And the reason I think it's neat is I'm finite, God's infinite, and I can't, as a finite person, comprehend the infinite. And what is extraordinary is that we will spend an eternity growing in our knowledge of the ineffable God who created us by his grace.
Yes, sir. You know, I mean, you would never understand all of it. I don't believe that. I believe there's just so much to comprehend there. But that's just what I wanted to know, you know, because I have read it in the Bible, and I read my Bible every night. I'm a trucker. And I read my Bible every night before I go to bed and say my prayer every morning. And I just wanted, you know, to make sure if I was correct in that or not, if somebody, you know, come up and ask me about it, because I've had people ask me, you know, and, you know, I just, that's what I told them, and I just hope I was telling them right.
Well, you were, Bruce, and you're a wonderful brother. You're a great example in praying and reading the Bible. And sometimes the most wonderful thing you can do is say, hey, let me show you something that the Bible actually says about Jesus, and then show them Colossians 1 or John chapter 1 or Revelation chapter 1. And that way you can allow the Bible to speak speak with its own eloquence. So God uses you as the channel by which that person comes in contact with his immortal word.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I sure do appreciate it, Hank, and you have a blessed evening, okay?
You as well, Bruce. Great, great testimony. And, you know, it's one thing to say that Jesus Christ is God, but think about his credentials. They back up his claim to deity. Jesus demonstrated that he was God in human flesh by manifesting the credential of sinlessness. Of course, the Quran exhorts Muhammad to seek forgiveness for sins, but the Bible exonerates Messiah, saying Jesus had no sin. And that's not a singular statement. John declares, and in him is no sin. And Peter says Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus himself went so far as to challenge antagonists. What did he say? He said, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? And there was silence. Jesus also demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness. Remember in Matthew 4 how Jesus went through Galilee, teaching, preaching, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And he demonstrated supernatural authority over the forces of nature. Mark 4 documents Jesus even rebuking the wind and the waves, saying, quiet, be still. Anyone else doing that would be a lunatic. But he was Lord over even the waves. Jesus demonstrated supernatural authority over fallen angels as well. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus encounters a man possessed by an evil spirit, and then he commands the demon to come out of him. Jesus demonstrated supernatural authority even over death. So he tells a royal official whose son was close to death, your son is going to live. So Jesus not only claimed to be God, the Bible not only claims that Jesus Christ is God, but his actions back up the very claims that he made. Think about Jesus Christ saying, I and the Father are one. What did the Jews do? They picked up stones to stone him. And then Jesus said to them, I'm sure many great miracles from the Father. For which one of these miracles are you stoning me? And they replied, well, we're not stoning you for any of those miracles, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Their unforgivable sin was to make Jesus out to be a mere man. They should have known better, because he walked through the doorway of Old Testament prophets. And only he could fulfill those prophecies. And yet, with premeditation and forethought, they called him a mere man. They denied that he was Emmanuel, that he was God with us. Recall when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? The answer, as we talked about with Bruce, is you are the Son of God. You are God in flesh. You are the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. You know, it's kind of cool, but I was thinking about, as I was speaking, about the book that we're making available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, and our outreaches around the world all this month, Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy. But there's a section, the last S in the acronym STARS, that deals with superstar ABCs. What's that all about? Well, think about the fact that Jesus Christ is predicted in many different ways in the Old Testament. And he fulfills all those predictions. His ancestry was marked. His birthplace was foretold. Circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied even before crucifixion. The manner of his death was invented. The date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. He would work extraordinary miracles. He would fulfill the law and the prophets, and it would be far too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and thus he would be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation could go out to the ends of the earth. Only the hand of God could have etched a portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause that portrait to take on flesh in the New Testament. Only Jesus of Nazareth, the unique superstar, could emerge through the doorway of the Old Testament prophets. And you and I today have to face that question ultimately: who do you say that I am? Mormons say, well, you're just the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, you're the Archangel Michael. Muslims say, you're a sinless prophet, but you're not God. You have New Agers, New Thought metaphysical practitioners. They say you're a good teacher. But Jesus said, I am God. By the way, you can't be a good teacher if you claim to be God and you're not God. So what you say about Jesus Christ, the question raised by Bruce, is not just a question, it is the question. It's the mother of all other questions. And that Jesus Christ, who is God, is not just a rational reality. He's an experiential reality. You can experience Christ. He can become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. I hope the book that I wrote, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, drives that point home so that in the end you can be certain that you have given your life to Jesus Christ, not as a human teacher, but the one who has risen from the dead, who will see to it that you rise from the dead, and one with whom you can commune, not just in time, but in eternity. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, written about this in the resource of the month, Prophetic Stars and the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, available when you support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as mentioned previously, for those who join the monthly CRI support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that what you do in standing for life and truth really does make a difference.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment.
Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Organ transplantation has saved many lives, but ethical questions persist regarding the methods of organ donation, including how doctors determine whether a patient has actually died. Christians should soberly assess the impact that organ donation has on the perceived value of human life. Other topics include contemporary atheist and sneer pressure, living as a Christian in a TV-dominated world. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? And does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.